Support for the Forward's Bindle Brief podcast comes from listeners like you and from Edward Blank, whose generosity makes this program possible.
Before we start the show, we want to tell you about another great podcast we think you'll love. Can We Talk is the podcast of the Jewish Women's Archive and features stories and interviews centered around gender and Jewishness. Nahani Rouse, Jen Richler, and Judith Rosenbaum talk with guests about everything from Jewish female superheroes to an underground abortion service. In Can We Talk's current season, the history of bat mitzvah in America, teenagers and toxic hookup culture, and Judy Gold and Miriam Anzoven sound off on Yiddish words like yenta. You can find Can We Talk at jwa.org/canwetalk or wherever you get your podcasts. It's episode 2 of season 2 of A Bindle Brief in the year 2022. I'm Gina Green.
I'm Lynn Harris.
And all of this too business, Lynn, has me thinking about the fact that I'm a Libra, and as such, I'm of two minds a lot of the time until it's time to make a decision, and then I'm your gal.
Perfect for this gig. Number two. Well, I now officially have two young Jewish adults in our home because my son recently became bar mitzvah.
Hey, mazel tov.
Thanks. So I'm hoping that he can also teach me how to be a Jewish adult.
It's never too late to learn.
No.
For this episode, we're going to go back into the recent past to revisit a letter from our last episode of last season. That episode was about a Jewish grandmother struggling to reconcile with her daughter's decision to baptize her new baby at the request of her non-Jewish in-laws. Interfaith partnership is a question Jews have wrestled with for eons.
Yeah, and that's why Heartbroken Bubby's story really struck a nerve. We were moved by her letter. Our listeners were really moved by her letter. And we know that because after we aired the episode, lots of you wrote in. A lot of you brought your own experiences to what you heard her say. We really received a lot of diverse takes on Heartbroken Bubby's situation.
And because those letters were so rich and so thought-provoking, we wanted to give Heartbroken Bubby a second act, which we're going to do today in three parts.
Part one, we're going to do something extremely Jewish. We are going to read you excerpts from the letters that we got, and then we're going to analyze the responses to our responses.
And given that this is such a timeless question, in part two, the Forward's archivist, Chana Pollack, will join us and share a letter from a few generations back that speaks to the same issues.
In Act 3, we always bring on an outside guest. And for this episode, we have a very, very special guest.
I was thinking to myself, well, is that the way all grandmas need to be? I guess I imagined that I would be able to be a grandma where I could speak my mind and not get so much pushback.
Yes, dear listeners, Heartbroken Bubby herself joins us to share what's happened since she wrote in. Stay tuned to hear whether or not she took our advice.
One last thing before we get started. We can't do an advice podcast without questions to answer. So big or small, silly or serious, please send us yours. We really want to hear them. You can reach us by emailing your question to bintel@forward.com. That's bintel@forward.com.
You can also leave us a message at 201-540-9728. Again, that is 201-540-9728. Your voicemail might end up in an episode and you'll be Advice Podcast famous.
And now, part one of Heartbroken Bubby, Act Two. Responses to the responses. Dear Bentel, while I appreciate all the thought that went into your answer to the sad Bubby, I would like to point out a missed opportunity. Sadly, she thinks that being a convert to Judaism is lesser than being born Jewish. That somehow she questions her own Judaism and its validity because her mother converted. Her mother was courageous. Her mother came to a new country and embraced her new faith. Sadly, the great Bubby must have felt shame not to share this special history.
Yeah, you know, this commenter is correct that the whole conversion part of the story is a thread that we didn't tug on in our answer. And I think it is part of the story because it's got to be part of the same types of insecurity and trauma that Jews of a certain time and place carry with them. And the opportunity here is to talk about it. We always say that, to talk about it, but to talk about the anxiety about this legitimacy and Judaism, like that actually is the cure. So if Heartbroken Bubby talks even more and reflects even more for herself on the weight of her family history, if nothing else, it could keep bringing them closer. So there really could be something wonderful to cultivate there.
Right. And we also can't underestimate that for folks who convert to Judaism in history, in the present, in the future, it can really factor into how they experience Jewish community. I believe that this element of Heartbroken Bubby's history of being the daughter of someone who converted colors her responses to her daughter's decisions about observing Judaism. And you almost can't separate them from each other.
Yeah, it's beautiful and complex by definition. So many layers. In fact, here's another one. Our next response speaks to the expression of Judaism through the ages from the perspective of someone in the next generation of Jews.
Dear Bintel Brief team, I am a 30-year-old Jew living in Canada. I heard Heartbroken Bubby's letter and felt deeply saddened, not only for Heartbroken Bubby herself, but also for the current generation of young Jews and our future children and grandchildren. The recent rise in anti-Semitism notwithstanding, we are so privileged to live in a time where Jews in North America have the freedom to organize as a community and practice our religion openly. And still, our generation only wants to invest when it is, quote, convenient to do so. I hope that there are enough people in my generation who see the flaw in this attitude. Jews who realize that strengthening and preserving the Jewish community is a beautiful, complex, and essential endeavor know that the hard work we must put into it is an investment worth making.
Okay, wow. There was a lot in that response that stuck out to me, but I think the one piece, Lynn, that really is sort of turning around in my head is the notion that the letter writer was mentioning that strengthening and preserving the Jewish community is beautiful and complex. And I think that not only is strengthening and preserving the Jewish community complex and beautiful, but we are as a people. And how we do the strengthening and the preserving is as complex as we are as a community. I think about Heartbroken Bubby and her daughter and her granddaughter, and each generation is going to do that beautiful, complex work of strengthening and preserving differently. And I think we have to be okay with that.
Almost like wrestling with these questions, which are inevitable, is the work of strengthening and preserving. And here's our last response. Side note, it contains a word that is not my favorite word, but you'll see it makes sense in context. Dear Bintel, after hearing the podcast, I had to write. My grandmother ran from Poland. Her brother ran to Argentina. 8 remaining brothers and sisters and her parents were taken by Hitler. All my young life, she said to me, not a shiksa, not a shiksa. I did marry a non-Jewish woman. Granny loved her and was happy for us. When my formerly Catholic wife and I told my grandma that it was important to my in-laws that we have our newborn son baptized, we wanted to know what she thought. She thought about it for a few seconds and then she said, "Can you have too many blessings?" I know.
I think it's pretty clear that the letter writer is correct. You can't have too many blessings. To all of our letter writers, thank you so much for writing in.
Even though we happen to be the ones on the mic, you all give stellar advice. So if you ever hear something on the show that you feel called to weigh in on, please do write us at bintel@forward.com. B-I-N-T-E-L. @forward.com. We love and appreciate your wisdom.
So, we've given Heartbroken Bubby our advice. We've given her our listeners' advice. What, you may ask, is there possibly left to give?
Right, we may have hit the advice ceiling on this one, but there is something else to offer. There always is, and that is comfort. The reality is that there have been Heartbroken Bubbies struggling with interfaith partnerships for years and years and years, and Zetas too. And there will be more to come. So we really do want to make sure that all of those heartbroken bubbies hear from other heartbroken bubbies past, so they know they are definitely not alone. And who better to call up for a trip back in time than the Forward's archivist, Hanna Pollack.
Hi, Lynn. Hi, Gina.
Hi, Hanna. I am so excited that you're here.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Did you pick up any new wisdom since the last episode?
Well, you know what they say in Yiddish? Their seichel is a kriecher. Wisdom advances at a snail's pace. So, you know, here's hoping.
So, Hanna, what comfort does the archive have for Heartbroken Bubby?
Actually, I was really, really kind of blown away that I managed to find two letters from the 70s. And I was also thinking that about how it sort of paces out in history, right? Like, this is almost like aging Jewishly. So I was kind of moved to find two issues that I hope bring Heartbroken Bubby some community and some comfort thereby. In the first case, in 79, the grandmother wrote into us that her sister's child is a child of an interfaith marriage. And they were really thrilled to find that the mother, who was the Gentile in this case, was really, really, as we know from studies that I've done, and if you read the foreword, you're going to know this, that frequently it's the interfaith partner that is really responding and very interested in making sure that Jewish education and Jewish continuity is part of their family life. So in this instance, that's the case. And the parents together decide they want to send their child to a Jewish day school. And so they approach a school that's near their house and they get like a flat out no. And so they're despondent. So I really love the Forward's response. And I wanted to offer that kind of lightly to Heartbroken Bubby too. I'm just going to like riff a little bit on the Yiddish. So the ending that they gave was, you know, mir vernehmen sich nicht in der Bintelbrief abteilen mit Problemen, was haben sie tun mit jiddische Dinim und mit Pasken in Shilas. So even if you don't get Yiddish, I think you probably picked up a couple of the words there. And then they end with, weil der Oif haben mir keine Hora genug Rabbonim. So just like really quick, here's the Forward's take on the inside baseball of these type of problems. There are enough rabbis to go around, they say, keine Hora. We're not going to get in too deep in terms of the law and, you know, what does Jewish law have to say on this? But they also said, kind of, work it. Like, don't give up. They're like, tell your relatives, go find another rabbi. So I'm really hoping this might give Heartbroken Bubby some comfort in a couple of ways. One, that they're, you know, this is 1979. These are issues that occurred over history, especially in our modern Jewish history. So they're definitely not alone. And I also love the kind of work it aspect. Forward readers are, what do we say, you know, self-propelling. Where there's a lot of energy there and there's a lot of knowledge and there's a lot of community. And reach out, like you're not alone. So I just wanted to segue from that and go into the next letter I found because I thought it might also bring some comfort. Because in the second letter I found, interestingly enough, it's a family that the writer, the mother of the family, the matriarch, is telling us, my husband and I were raised in Orthodoxy and we practiced Orthodoxy and we raised our kids Jewishly, right? And they're celebrating a bar mitzvah, the grand show. They raised their kids. They went to public school, but they also went to Jewish day schools. And yet they said, when we raised our kids, this is how a bar mitzvah went down. You know, the kid would have the bar mitzvah in our shul. Then we would celebrate with a little bit of cake and some whiskey. And then at night we would have like a dinner. That was bar mitzvah in their time. New generation comes and somebody reserved an unkosher hotel to celebrate bar mitzvah. And Bubby and Zadie in this case are like, oh, what do we do? Which is kind of like Heartbroken Bubby. Like, what do we do? How much do we say? How much don't we say? And in the end, they decided among themselves to tell the daughter-in-law who they also, there's a little bit of class issues too, which I think is interesting, you know, in 1979, right? Immigrant families are already several generations in our country, in American culture, and they're sort of coming along and moving up into the middle class, a lot of us. So here's the story that, you know, the mother is looking at this daughter-in-law and she's like, well, she likes fancy things. She wants to go to a fancy hotel. She doesn't want to go to a kosher venue. But here's the thing, Zadie and Bubby aren't going to be able to eat there. So what are Zadie and Bubby going to do? In this instance, Zadie and Bubby told the daughter-in-law, and the son arranged for them to, you know, in the end, go to a kosher venue, but it did not resolve the issue, meaning that the daughter-in-law then really let the mother had it. So they wrote to the forward going like, was it wrong? Were we wrong? Should we not have said anything? So I also love the forward's response. And I'll just give the quick responses in Yiddish. Und das, was der Seide mit der Bobbin haben geschäbt nachher von sehr einigel, ist doch euch etwas wert. In other words, the short answer, you know what? For the grandparents, for the Bubby and the Zadie to also enjoy and have nachas from the grandchild is also really important. So they're not saying yes or no. They supported saying. They did believe that you had the right to say, because especially of an issue of, well, we're not going to be able to eat there, right? They felt that it was worthwhile, but they also were trying to, I think, give a big picture, which is that it's also really important for generations to be able to bridge and celebrate and participate together.
I really appreciate that last piece, Hannah, about generations being able to be together, to share together, to grow together, because that really feels like it's what is at the core of the question. Are we going to be together as a family, as a community, as a people? And that changes over time. And we can do it because we always have.
Yeah. And hopefully this piece also sort of shows that this was 79, right? People were starting to find different streams of relating to Jewish culture. And so this is, you know, one of these letters is an interfaith family. The other letter is like within organized mainstream Jewish practice. People are trying to go different ways. So what do we do?
It reminded me, on that note, it did remind me of the tagline of this episode, I think, which is, can one have too many blessings? Meaning, how can we make it so that we can all celebrate together? This is a blessing for all of us. To me, in this one, the kashrut is a detail. You know, let's make it so that we can all celebrate these blessings together.
Amen.
Well, Hannah, thank you so much for joining us. It is always a pleasure.
Thanks, everybody. Sei gesund.
Sei gesund.
Sei gesund.
We'll be right back after the break.
I'm Rachel Fishman Feddersen, publisher and CEO of The Forward.
And I'm Jody Rudoran, The Forward's editor-in-chief.
Together, we're reinventing the nation's leading Jewish news organization for today's diverse American Jewish communities.
We're carrying on a 125-year-old tradition of exposing anti-Semitism, holding power to account, and helping American Jews explore their identities, debate political issues, and connect to their culture.
And we're doing those things in new ways that resonate with today's Jews of every type and stripe across generations.
But we're a reader-supported nonprofit, and we can't do it without you.
Please give whatever you can to support independent Jewish journalism by going to forward.com/donate.
All right, now it's time for the moment you've been waiting for. Heartbroken Bubby herself. And Heartbroken Bubby has been on our mind. So we wondered what has happened since she wrote her heartfelt letter. So we decided to call her up and ask.
So the question was, well, what has happened since all this drama? I've talked with other grandmas and they all tell me exactly the same thing. Keep your mouth shut and your wallet open. And that's basically what I've been doing. And I've been able to go to visit. In fact, I just recently came back from a visit. And when I'm there, we'll make Shabbos dinner together and light candles. And before we light candles, now the baby's got enough dexterity to put some coins in the tzedakah box. I haven't had the guts to ask, do you do this when I'm not here? Oh man, I'm surprised I even have a tongue anymore. I've bitten it so many times.
Oh, Heartbroken Bubby. Oh. If only other people should have almost missing tongues.
She and my mom would have had a lot of bitten tongues to talk about. I know that was a line my mom used to say also. Yeah, mouth shut, biting tongue, wallet open. You know, this is the next level approach to the situation after the sort of immediate situation that we talked about for sure. There's lots she's not saying. There's lots she wonders about, lots she wishes were true, but she's there. They make Shabbos, the baby with the coins, so sweet.
I know. I totally pictured little chubby hands dropping coins and it's a tzedakah box. You know, she said, I haven't had the guts to ask, do you do this? Do you make Shabbos? Do you light candles? Do you give tzedakah when I'm not here? And, you know, the thing that struck me about that sharing is that maybe it's okay that it doesn't happen when she's not there. We don't know, but there is a part of me that thinks that the memories that her granddaughter will have of these particular experiences, because they only happen a few times a year, there's something about how special and how resonant and how important they will be because they don't happen all the time. And that Bubby gets that association and gets that foundation with her. So there is some beauty in the infrequency, even though we know Heartbroken Bubby, and many of us would love it if they did that every Friday night.
We also, of course, wanted to know from Heartbroken Bubby, was the podcast helpful to you? And her answer was yes and no.
When one of the responses from one of the commentators on the podcast was that, well, you may not end up with a granddaughter who is knowledgeable Jewishly and, you know, who goes to Hebrew school and all that, but you might end up with a granddaughter who celebrates the holidays or likes lox and bagels. That's, to me, setting the bar too low.
But Heartbroken Bubby also said this.
It's helping me inch toward a revision of my expectations in that, look, maybe I'm just more committed than my children. And maybe my expectations are too high. And maybe I will have to be satisfied with a low bar. But I'm not willing to give up yet. It's like filed away in the back of my mind for future reference that should I need to do that, what I have to appreciate is that this is a magnificent child. They are fabulous parents, better parents than I was in a much more difficult world. And if this kid grows up to be something more than a serial killer, I should be grateful.
That is the lowest bar.
That's also a very attainable gratitude practice. Seriously, though, about a gratitude practice, it feels like she doesn't have everything she wants, but she can embrace what she does have and want and appreciate. And that's a lot.
And that's a great approach. And Heartbroken Bubby also had a little bit more advice to share that we thought was pretty good. So we wanted you all to hear it, too.
Things can change. We don't know. I have to be present there in the moment and enjoy any joy.
Enjoy any joy. That's a recipe for all of us, not just Heartbroken Bubby.
Enjoy the joy. Can we have too many blessings? Excuse me, I need to go stitch those on a cross stitch and put them on my wall right now.
Well, we've come full circle with Heartbroken Bubby. And I gotta say that I didn't expect that when we first answered her question back in season one.
Yeah, her question really is full of layers and full of gifts. I really appreciate her generosity with us.
Well, you know what time it is?
All right, here's today's question. Since COVID hit, I've been part of a street COVID minion. The host of the minion does not have the voice of a chazan, but lately has been taking the chazan role for important prayers. Is there a nice way to deal with this? Signed, Frustrated in COVID Land.
Well, Frustrated in COVID Land, where we know you're not population one, there isn't a nice way to tell somebody they can't sing. But I think you can deal with the situation nicely. You could volunteer yourself to be the chazan for certain prayers, or you could volunteer to manage others who can also share in this gift.
Yeah, totally. You could just say, hey, love your davening. Let's see if we can go around and see who else wants to take part. Because I think that kind of inclusivity could take our minion to the next level.
All right, done, solved. Frustrated in COVID land, let us know how it goes. So if you have one of those questions that's just been nagging you, send it on in. A Bentel Blitz could be the answer to your baffled prayers.
We answer your questions and requests for advice here, so please send them to us. We want to hear them. No question is too small and no question is too big. Give us the tea. We can't wait to hear it. Please send your questions to bentel@forward.com or just give us a call. You can leave a message at 201-540-9728. 201-540-9728.
This podcast is a product of The Forward, Our editor-in-chief is Jody Rudoran, and our CEO and publisher is Rachel Fishman Feddersen. We're produced by Wonder Media Network, and our producer is Alessandra Wolner. Our production assistant is Carmen Borca Carrillo. Our executive producer is Jenny Kaplan. Special thanks again to Edward Blank, whose generosity makes this show possible.